Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, cycling boosts your love hormone. Sounds really creepy. Actually, it's good news. We will tell you why it matters, how to make the most of it, and why it's not creepy.
I'm getting back into cycling. We've also got
particularly invasive and brutal sounding experiment, which involves taking blood from the jugular vein. Yeah. For my money, he is the most marketable rider on the planet right now.
That exercise boosts levels of the so-called love hormone.
Yeah, you see, I had no idea that mice liked swimming. That was total news to me. This is why cycling sucks and why I should take up, I don't know, ballet or something.
This week in the world of cycling, we learn that you're unbeatable until you're not. Such was the level of domination from Mathieu van der Poel in Friday's Cobbled Classic that his rivals were left wondering whether he's simply too good to beat.
Until 2 days later, the Lidl Trek team slowly took him apart with some brilliant teamwork and strong riding at Gent-Wevelgem.
But it just goes to show, doesn't it, that when you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. I mean, we only need to ask Wout van Aert, don't we, who was sprawled on the cobbles when Mathieu van der Poel was attacking to win at E3 on Friday.
Well, we did also learn this week, though, that that could just be because he's a dad. Okay, Belgian scientists concluded that the performance of male pro cyclists deteriorates after the birth of their first children.
Do you know what? I fell out of the world tour about 6 months after Jude was born.
Fell out?
I didn't get a contract renewal, and I always knew that could not be my own fault.
That's
must
right,
have been
yeah.
down to Jude.
Well, there you go, mate. Yeah. I mean, are you going to tell him that? Or
yeah, I already have, actually.
Anyway, perhaps we should ask Jonas Vingegaard how he manages.
True, yeah. He's not faring too badly, is he?
He's not.
Finally, we also learned, thanks in part to swimming mice, and yes, you did hear that correctly, that exercise boosts levels of the so-called love hormone, a.k.a. oxytocin.
Love hormone. I mean, it couldn't sound any more cringy.
Well, no, you're wrong there, actually. It could, because the other term for it is the cuddle chemical.
Oh, my God. Okay, it could sound worse, couldn't it? Right, we better explain ourselves and do it quickly, I guess. Oxytocin is a hormone. You may well have heard of it before, because its effects are pretty wide ranging.
Oh, yeah. So everything from triggering contractions before childbirth and lactation after, sexual pleasure, social bonding, and an association with general mood.
So why is it relevant to cyclists then? Well, let us explain.
And so anyone who does exercise will be quite familiar with the buzz that you get afterwards. It's enjoyable. It's addictive.
You managed to break that addiction, didn't you?
I managed to break that addiction. And actually, it can be incredibly important in helping to treat clinical depression as well as low mood. Runners have a high, apparently.
They do, yeah.
I'm not too sure that cycling's done a decent job of the branding compared to runners.
No, it's true, isn't it? Someone should get on that. Mm. Runner's high, cycling
buzz.
Well, let's give a cycling buzz. Yeah, typically when talking about a post-exercise buzz, we hear about endorphins, which are also hormones, that block feelings of pain and increase feelings of well-being. But actually, it's not just endorphins. There's a whole cocktail of hormones that are released during exercise.
One of which is oxytocin. Now, it's been known for some time that levels of oxytocin increase with aerobic exercise, but then recent research has shed some interesting light on it, as summarised by the always excellent Alex Hutchinson in his Sweat Science column, both in terms of how exercise increases oxytocin, but also on its effects.
Yeah, so firstly, a particularly invasive and brutal sounding experiment, which involves nothing less than taking blood from the jugular veins of presumably willing volunteers,
so.
Yeah, after high-intensity interval workouts on exercise bikes.
Maybe taking blood from your jugular sounds worse than it actually is.
Yeah, but high-intensity intervals on an exercise bike, yeah. I mean, a whole combination. Anyway, fortunately, the researchers were at least able to draw some conclusions from this barbaric test. They showed that levels of oxytocin in the blood rose following just 4x4 minute hard intervals, which kind of adds another dimension, doesn't it, to the previous research that suggested that only prolonged aerobic exercise increases it.
Now, this is interesting. From a meta-analysis of existing research, it seems like high-intensity interval training is more beneficial than lower-intensity exercise at improving mood, particularly when talking about more serious depression. And so this definitely helps to explain it. Sure, high-intensity training basically gives you the benefits of exercise on mood without the downsides. bit like feeling bloody knackered.
Yes, well, this is true, right? So I get back from a short ride, buzzing, the cyclist buzz.
High.
Well, I mean, not high, I'm just buzzing. It's the cycling buzz. But after a long ride, like, genuinely, I'm a little bit grumpy. Mm. Not because I haven't enjoyed myself, but just because I'm slightly dehydrated, which makes me really grumpy. Mm. And then I'm also tired. So they're kind of slightly more potent responses than a buzz.
You could probably add hangry into the first thought as well.
Yeah, I could, yeah.
So lesson one, high-intensity intervals are just as good for producing oxytocin, the mood-boosting hormone, which is part of the post-exercise feel-good vibes. Lesson two, oxytocin has already been linked, or also been linked, to physical responses too, like reducing blood pressure and not just mood.
So that's another good reason for trying to stimulate more of it, right? Yeah. I mean, this is just a reason why exercise is good. It's one of those physiological things.
Presumably not, more is not better, though. You don't want to do high-intensity interval training over 6-hour rides 5 times a week.
Well, it's interesting, Dan, but the researchers actually looked at that. So they did a second set of high-intensity intervals, like one was not enough, and they showed, I think, that basically they produced the same amount of oxytocin, but not, like, incrementally more, see what I mean. So anyway, it was, like, more oxytocin, but not, like, loads more.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's not worth the extra pain.
Not really. Not when someone's poking your jugular. What is really interesting, though, really, really interesting, is the swimming mice.
Yeah. So researchers put mice on a training regime of 30-minute swim sessions.
Yeah, you see, I had no idea that mice liked swimming. That was total news to me.
I guess the ethical issue with this is that they probably don't, I'm imagining. But it is good to know that they can.
Well, yes, yeah, so that is good now, yeah.
Anyway, the researchers showed that after exercise, mice were far more sociable than the control group who hadn't been exercising.
Yeah, now what was cool, right, is when they administered an oxytocin inhibitor to some of the mice. So another non-exercise group with the inhibitor showed the same limited level of sociability as the control group. But an exercise group with the inhibitor also then showed the same reduced levels of sociability even after exercise.
Which suggests that it was the oxytocin from the exercise that was making the mice sociable, because when you took that away, they were back to their usual selves.
Yeah, boring, antisocial mice, basically. Now, what does this mean for us lot?
It might explain the difference between you and me.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, antisocial Dan doesn't do high-intensity intervals anymore.
No.
Versus me, you know, bubbly, vivacious, yeah. Yay! No, I mean, I'm not entirely sure that is necessarily true. But, all right, back to the point.
Subject in hand.
Yes, oxytocin is a social stimulant. So, cycling as a group, which is more sociable in the first place, also then makes you more sociable after it, which is why you should stop for a mid or a post-ride coffee.
And if anyone asks you why you were out so long on that particular ride, you can tell them it's because science told you to.
Exactly, yeah.
But jokes aside, it actually shows how valuable exercising with others can be for helping to improve mood, also loneliness and other 21st century issues. It's not that it makes you more sociable, it promotes feelings of trust and togetherness.
That's right. So group rides are like an antidote, aren't they, to the ills of modern living and social media. What is weird, though, is that, as we mentioned at the beginning, oxytocin is also associated with love and romantic relationships, which I don't think seem to blossom that often in cycling groups.
Do you have data on this, or is this some kind of anecdotal evidence?
I mean, what's it called? Experiential data. I mean, this is basically that I have never experienced love on
Maybe it does work.
Group ride.
Just no one's told us.
We've just never experienced it personally.
No.
Clearly the potency of oxytocin hasn't been enough to offset, you know, detracting factors. I mean, yeah, but I'd like to know, actually, whether it's just us that haven't ever experienced
Maybe we can love on a group ride.
Well, yeah, this is it. Like, has love ever blossomed in your cycling club or amongst your cycling buddies? And more to the point, now you know what oxytocin is, have you experienced this post-ride high that we've just been blathering on about?
Yeah, and is it better after high-intensity interval training rides or long, steady ones?
Yeah, so let us know in the comment section down below. Right, I don't know about you, Dan, but I'm going to head out for a quick group ride now and then go to the pub.
Well, I'll join you, if that's the reward.
Well, no, you can, yeah. It probably won't be so high-intensity, you know.
Will be for me.
All right, well, you'll be buzzing at the end of it.
Yeah, you get the first round in whilst I'm still making my way to the pub.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start, I'm afraid, with some really sad news coming from the Indian Pacific Wheel Race, which is an ultra race across Australia.
For the second time in the event's short history, a competitor has been killed whilst racing, as a 62-year-old Chris Barker lost his life after being hit by the driver of a vehicle on the Nullarbor in Western Australia.
Yeah, so police are investigating, of course, but we would just like to send our condolences to Chris's family and his friends.
That's always horrible reading anything like that, isn't it?
It is, isn't it, yeah.
We're going to move on now to some better news about a segregated bike path. So just down the road from where Kirkpatrick Macmillan invented the pedal-driven bicycle, two villages just over a mile apart have effectively been cut off from each other for anyone not driving a car, owing to the danger of the road between them.
That's right. Kirkpatrick Macmillan.
Yeah.
That's my Scottish accent.
I know I got it very wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think my effort was probably just as poor. Anyway, the good news is that a new path has been built due to well-invested government money and also a local church, which I thought was cool. They've leased some land for the route to cross.
Cool, isn't it? Also kind of a travesty that it's a sign of the times that people can be so cut off without cars at their disposal, really.
Well, yeah.
But good that something's happened in this particular case, of course.
Well, that's right. Yeah, more examples like that needed, basically.
Would be nice, yeah. If we can find them, we'll bring them to you.
Indeed.
In other news, we would like to say a huge congratulations to Andrew Mortensen, who after 280 days and over 27,000 miles has become the first openly gay man to cycle around the globe.
Yeah, not only did he achieve this feat, which is, you got to say, far more than the bog standard 18,000 miles lap of the globe, but he also raised $19,000 for the Trevor Project LGBTQ plus suicide prevention charity.
Very cool indeed. Moving on to some tech news now, and we're going to start with the news that Mathieu van der Poel has signed an almighty 10-year deal with Canyon Bikes, which will take him well past his retirement as a professional cyclist, won't it?
Well, I mean, you'd think so. I mean, technically, if he is still going in 10 years' time, he'd still be quite significantly younger than Alejandro Valverde, wouldn't he?
Well, that is true.
But he also strikes me as the kind of guy that might not linger on quite like Alejandro Valverde.
Well, that's a bit of a disservice to Valverde. He was pretty good still, wasn't he, when he was 40?
Well, I know. I mean, he was blooming good. Well, he's still good, wasn't he? He got a medal at the Gravel Worlds.
Well, I think he might well have done.
Yeah, exactly. But do you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't quite at his best anymore.
No,
he was just there.
Just riding bikes, waiting for a 10-year deal to come up from someone.
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, I think he is still at Canyon, isn't he, Valverde? Anyway, we're digressing. Van der Poel, for my money, he is the most marketable rider on the planet right now. He makes all his bikes look super cool. Mm. I mean, I'm 40 years old now, but when I ride a Canyon Air Road, I basically imagine that I'm Mathieu van der Poel.
Do you?
Yeah, awesome. which is you know, it's a difficult thing to admit, but still, there we go. I'm going to be interested to see where the product development goes as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a good collaboration.
I think so,
yeah. It already has been, hasn't it? It's also worth watching the interview that van der Poel gave to Canyon and Rob Hatch. You can find it on Canyon's YouTube channel, which you can catch after you finish watching the GCN show.
That's right. Don't flip over now. You'll be missing out on an awful lot, won't you, if you did. Right, some tech news from Vittoria now. They have just released some new tyres, which promise not just a 10% improvement in grip, and 10% improvement in rolling efficiency and comfort as well. Not just a 34% improvement in puncture resistance, but this is a really good bit. They are made from 92% recycled or renewable materials, including organic cotton instead
organic
of nylon,
cotton.
Yeah, and rice husk ash silica.
Sounds good.
Instead of your common or garden silica. And added to that, the new tyre is also produced in their carbon neutral factory that they've just opened.
Oh, sounds very good to me.
Yeah, doesn't it?
There's an old cycling there. I also like the nods to the biscuit colour toga psychos of John Tomac from 1993.
Yes, I believe it was. Yeah, it's such an obscure reference that we clearly won't be able to find a photo to illustrate it.
Well, not that we can use.
No. So just imagine a biscuit coloured tyre and basically you're there. Mm. It was the height of cool.
Yeah, on those Tiger disc drives as well.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I always wanted one as a 10-year-old.
Hmm?
Sadly, never got one.
I was going to say you might be able to afford one now, but they're quite pricey, aren't they? Still?
I bet they are, yeah. And apparently they only lasted for like 5 minutes.
Ah.
The Tiger ones.
Okay.
No word on Vittoria's yet.
About them.
No, exactly. Right, elsewhere in the cycling universe, Strava has just unveiled best efforts
for cyclists.
Which means
that on each ride, you can see your best time for 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 and 50K plus 5 and 10 miles, which is a great measure of performance for those without power meters.
That's right, yeah. Kind of like running, you use best times far more than cyclists, but actually it makes sense.
It does, I mean, because the conditions for runners don't change as much as they do for cyclists in terms of, you know, wind and rain and all the surface stuff. You know, there's a difference between off-road and on-road and hills, obviously, but it's quite a good way of measuring your fitness in running.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it works for cycling too over time, doesn't it? So yeah, I think that's proper cool. Right, lastly, under our recent city cycling bids, there have been a few comments about my very fetching new jacket, which I think, Dan, can only be described as super reflective urban camo.
Can it only be described like that, would you say?
Well, hang on a minute. I mean, I guess you could also say it is a dark grey waterproof jacket that shines like a Christmas tree when light hits it. But anyway, I absolutely love this. To cut a long story short, it's now available to buy in the GCN shop.
Yeah, it's a riding jacket, but with a casual cut.
It is, yeah.
It's a good description, isn't it? And it's made with Ahu's premium waterproof fabric.
It is indeed, yeah. It's part of their commuter range. It's a bit rustly, probably, right now, isn't it? Look at this. Check me out with my urban camo.
Does look good, doesn't it?
It does. It looks
even on you.
Thanks, Dan. As mentioned, it's available to buy in the GCN shop.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it? It is. And also, you'll find on there a new range of T-shirts and sweatshirts. It's pretty much all dedicated to some early season, very big bike races. This is the big race, of course, taking place this Sunday. And 1 week later, you will get the Hell of the North.
Oh, yes.
What size 40 now? There's a whole host of others as well. So shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com.
Whilst we're talking about Tour of Flanders and Paris-Roubaix, preview shows available over on GCN Racing.
Yes. So Flanders will be out on Wednesday. Roubaix will probably be the Thursday because we've got a bank holiday to enjoy on Monday, haven't we?
Yes.
Next up, hack /bodge of the week. We've only got a couple this week, haven't we? Because our uploader has unfortunately fallen over again.
Killian Kelly has been too busy training for his Tour of Flanders Sportief.
I don't think we should even let him go out to the Tour of Flanders Sportief.
What, because he hasn't done his homework?
Because, yeah, he's not done his proper work. Or maybe this is all a ploy to be punished and not be allowed to be sent out.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, you go out to Flanders, Killian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing the 274K route now. Anyway, keep checking back to upload.globalcyclingnetwork.com and hopefully it'll be back up and running in the not too distant future.
He's promised that it's going to be back up and running by the time this GCN show is released. So if everyone fancies queuing up on Tuesday evening to upload.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Right, first up this week, this one from Marcus from mid-North Coast, New South Wales. I bought a Bluetooth mini keyboard got a cheap mini keyboard and attached a Garmin mount. Now I just need Ruby to add a chat function so that I can use the keyboard.
Now this is quite cool. So we have often talked about how some people manage to chat on Zwift. Mm. Like deep into an interval session, my fingers are so sweaty that I can't type on my phone anymore. Mm. It just goes bananas. So this,
it's because they're feeling so social at the end of a high intensity interval.
Well, there is that. That would explain why a lot of people seem to be very chatty on Zwift. But no, so this is a little keyboard that literally attaches to your Wahoo or your Garmin mount, and away you go. It's just there at the front of your bike, exactly where you want it.
Yeah,
I think that's cool.
Doesn't it? It reminds me of a sort of half of a BlackBerry, you know, the actual keyboard from a BlackBerry from the early 2000s.
Ah, BlackBerry. Where, you know, we were saying earlier about like when you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. Feels a little bit like BlackBerry, doesn't it?
I know. Yeah. How big were they?
Yeah.
At a point, it was so easy to type, wasn't it? Just pressing the numbers a few times each.
Brilliant.
Anyway, I would say that was a hack, even though you can't currently use it on the platform you're using, which is Ruby.
Yeah. Yeah, that does seem like an odd thing. It's like an invention without a reason.
Yeah, but it's preempting, I guess. Organised.
Well, yeah, or just go on Zwift, because you can chat away there, can't you?
You're going hack as well?
Yeah, I am. I think that's great. Like, I genuinely want one of these myself.
Get one?
Well, I mean, yeah, I could. Feel a bit nervous ordering a Bluetooth keyboard. Feels like it's a bit out of my comfort zone.
But, well, the good thing is that they pointed out it's cheap, so you're
well. There you go. Yeah, and a little mount to stick on the back. No, I think that's a hack.
I'd say hack as well.
Hack. All right. Then next one, we got this one from Robert. It's more indoor training, in fact. Here is a picture of his kicker bike in his basement. As he says, squishy foam supports under my kicker bike. Bodge. Squishy foam supports cut from kicker bike's packing materials. Hack. There we go. Now, effectively, these are just three squares of foam put underneath the legs of his kicker bike, which I kind of don't really understand why you'd do that. No.
No, I don't know either.
I mean, because that is, like, the kicker bike is very, very quiet.
Mm.
And it's not like it's going to be a rocker plate or anything. It's just like, yes, I find that a bit odd.
Well, at least as they pointed out, they came with, or at least the phone came with the bike, so it wasn't buying anything extra.
Well, yeah, it's recycling at its best, isn't it? Or reusing.
I'm still saying bodge. I mean, it just, that bike setup is going to look so much neater without those three bits of foam underneath it, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is, yeah.
It's like a really nice, sizable room to do your training in as well.
Well, yeah, I like the DeWalt kind of like workbench / TV monitor.
Yeah, you can
station.
Have a TV in at one moment and you can do some soaring off at the next, perhaps.
There you go. Yeah, we're going to say, I don't really understand it, Robert. So yeah, a bit of a bodge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this last one.
Well, you've added a third yourself, haven't you?
I have. Well, I think, you know, I'm not wanting to blow my own trumpet here, but I think this needs some kind of like
blowing of trumpet.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I just want people to say, oh, look at that. So, I mean, it's entirely my own fault. I got a puncture the other day and the valve on my spare inner tube was not long enough to go through my very bling carbon rims, which is deeply embarrassing. But anyway, straight out of the old playbook from many years ago, tie a knot in your inner tube where the puncture is, and it holds air. Yeah. So you can just put it straight back in the tire and go home. There's like, it's a little bumpy, but actually not that bad.
Well, it's better than a flat tyre, isn't it?
Well, massively better than a flat tyre. I mean, I also did wonder slightly whether that was going to be a problem for my carbon wheels. But anyway, they seemed completely fine after it. So jobs are good. And I got home, I think I had like a 40-minute ride to get back.
Nice.
So there we go. That would have been a long walk or an expensive...
give you a hack.
Thanks, man.
That's right.
Oh, I appreciate
you
that.
You've given yourself a hack as well?
Well, I mean, of course I have, yeah. Well, I mean, that is the definition
of a...
nice
way to finish hack and bodge with a hack from both.
Yeah, and look at that little smile on my face as well. That's genuine. That, I mean, that is a roadside maintenance hack, if ever there was one, I think. So, yeah. But also, massive bodge, packing an inner tube whose valve is too short.
Yeah.
I think I had a valve extender.
I was going to say, have you not got a sneaky little valve
I do. I had a valve extender, but it was too fat to go through the rim hole. I know, it was awful. It was one of those ones where I was stood at the side of the road for 30 minutes just going like, what an idiot.
Worse,
what an absolute idiot. This is why cycling sucks and why I should take up, I don't know, ballet or something. Mm. Like, you don't get that issue with ballet, I don't suppose.
Right, so fingers crossed we can get some more of your hacks and bodges uploaded between now and next week's GCN show.
I bet you got some good ones lined up for us.
Yeah, and obviously queued up.
Oh my goodness, it's just going to be an absolute avalanche of amazing hacks and terrible bodges, isn't it? It better be. Get uploading. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle, which will be here soon. Will be here soon. It's just, you know, like...
Do you think Killian's got something to do with this as well?
Oh, without doubt.
He's useless, isn't
he? We're absolutely, yeah. If you just like to message Killian, he hangs around on X quite a lot.
He does, yeah.
So just get on there and be like, Killian, where are the Camelback water bottles?
Do it publicly rather than on DM.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't share us all in on the. Anyway, we're digressing again. But effectively, if you put a witty caption in the comment section, then you might win yourself a GCN Camelback water bottle. Won't you? We're going to start with the results from last week. Find out who has put the wittiest caption in.
We are indeed. Last week's photo was this one from the Milan Sanremo podium. Tadej Pogacar taking a selfie with Jasper Philipsen and the winner and Michael Matthews next to him. Our winner this week is Easton Brown, who put caption competition, Tadej Pogacar doing his thing.
Oh, nice. There you go. You know, looking at this photo, this sort of reminds me of what Lance Armstrong was hating on about, like, people looking happy.
People liking each other.
This is it, like, Tadej Pogacar has just come third at Milan Sanremo.
Can you imagine how much oxytocin they've got in their system?
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe
after a 7-hour ride with two intervals at the end.
Yeah, maybe Lance just, like, for obvious reasons, maybe just didn't get quite as much oxytocin.
He was never high intensity.
Well, just like maybe there's some sort of blunting effect if you start manipulating other hormones. Yeah, so maybe we've answered answered Lance's thing there. But they do look very happy, don't they?
Do you feel like we've digressed again?
Yeah.
Should we get onto this week's photo?
Yeah, congratulations, Easton Brown. Get in touch and we will get your GCN Camelback water bottle winging its way to you.
This week's photo is, I think, the World Tour rankings and jersey presentation from Gent Wevelgem on Sunday. That is Elisa Balsamo, the winner of the race, and alongside her fellow Italian, Chiara Consoni, and they're having a very good laugh about something.
I want to know what they are laughing at, because that looks genuine, doesn't it?
Genuine cackle.
Oh, amazing. Right there, love it, yeah.
I shall get you started. Hey, Chiara, did you hear that Ollie is going to give Merckx's hour record another go?
I mean, the trouble is, like, he probably could actually do it now.
I know, yeah.
Because technology's moved on, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. But that is quite amusing. Well, insert your own caption. Hey, Chiara, have you heard that Dan Lloyd is going to make a comeback?
Yes. Anything along those lines will probably win you a bottle.
Basically, yeah. Particularly if it's about Dan. And not like my ankles or something like that. Right, yeah, get involved. Get down into the comment section and give us your best efforts, please.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week. But first up, some comments from last week's show and last week's videos in general. First up from last week's show, the Cat 6609 put, the UCI should ban those microphones.
I mean, they are performance enhancing, aren't they? But not to the point that the UCI would be unhappy with them, I think.
What's not to like about microphones that sound better and cover some of us up? Really?
Well, I mean, there is that, isn't there? Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's not quite big enough to cover my ankles up, but,
No, and we wouldn't be able to hear you, even if they were.
Yeah, good point.
Well, Scott Colburn puts, well, obviously the best place for the large new microphones is down the front of your shirts. You'd be much more aero and could finish the show in record time.
Well, yeah, that might help with some of the slower GCN shows where we're still rabbiting on 40 minutes after we started.
Yes.
But yeah, there we go. I mean, you lot have already lasted quite a long time, so congratulations for staying here. But bear with us, though. Underneath Five Ways to Make Every Ride Great, Richard Klinker said, planning route/weather, wind direction, try to plan to get a tailwind on the latter part of your route. That is a good tip, actually, isn't it, about how to make every ride great?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good one, actually. Solid effort. Also, if you're looking at the weather, you know what to wear, don't you? Yes. There's nothing worse than being too hot or too cold.
Or you know not to go out.
Well, there is that, yeah.
Yep. How fit can you get if you only train in Zone 2? A.S. Gundogs wrote, my old Irish mate, Mike Acondria.
I did have a chuckle about this.
Yes, a slight slip of the tongue.
Yeah, I mean, we get many, many pronunciations wrong here at GCN, don't we? Manon was just true to form. Mycochondria, new Irish friend.
You'll be very pleased to hear, AS Gundogs, that you have a similar sense of humour to Carlton Kirby, who loves to talk about the Irishman Philip O'Gana.
There we go. Baum TV said, I would love to see the same video with an unfit person and or beginner cyclist. Yeah, that's a good shout. Well, maybe once Manon's finished her 6 weeks of Zone 2 training, we find out what's happened, then we can see whether we can get another recruit to do it. It could be cool, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be. S. Mathai. But like so many other comments, I discovered some Zone 2 last year as it became a popular YouTube thing, especially with Inigo. For several months, that's basically all I've been doing. It's the winter, rainy, stay indoors on an erg mode trainer, watch movies while Zone 2 training. I watched my Zone 2 go from 180 watts to 210 over this time, over the same time period of exercise, 1.5 hours usually. Tested my FTP 2 weeks ago, and it was the best FTP of my life. Wow.
Well, there you go. I mean, it is interesting, isn't it? Like, obviously, there's a lot of fans for Zone 2, but then there's also a lot of people that say that it's not perhaps the most effective use of time.
Are there?
So, yeah, there are, yeah. So, it's just fascinating to see how different people respond, isn't it, to different training. Underneath, can we keep up with the pro cyclist? What we learned said, we've come full circle and Ollie is getting dropped again. Yeah. All is right with the world. Yeah. I think, in Ollie's defence, I don't think he really trains for those kind of like all-out brutal efforts that pro cyclists have to do day in, day out.
He doesn't do the high-intensity interval training.
No, I mean, because if you're only doing like time trial, like 10-mile time trials, whatever, you don't need to be able to do like 500 watts,
couldn't it?
I mean, well, yeah, good, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then underneath Sunday's video about was the 90s superbike peak bike. Loads of comments on there. Folkobanfi said the initial shot of the bike in the ruins just redefined what all super nice shots for the bike vault should be like.
Wow.
Yeah, a few rules ripped up on that occasion.
Yeah, and we had this from Amit Jagathesan. I've mullered that.
You have, yeah. Mitochondria, I think that's...
I don't know how fast or slow it goes. It looks beautiful. Well, I don't care. Sorry. I thought I'd nailed
young person's
tech speak there and then realised I hadn't.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, there's a spelling mistake there. He's put IDC. Doesn't he know that no starts with a K?
Yes, anyway, it looks beautiful. Old bikes got a certain charm to them.
But I think the reason why this one is like next level beautiful is because... it's not like old. It's got like deep section carbon wheels. Those first generation Campagnolo Boras are so nice. And then it's not got crappy old like shift the brake levers, you know, the ones with the cables sticking out the top that hurt your hands to hold on to. Like it's just, I mean, there is a strong case to say it's peak.
The first of the modern bikes, I guess.
It is, yeah. But anyway, check that vid out if you've not already and let us know what you think.
Right, it's coming up on the channel this week. On Wednesday, we're going to let you know what gear you need in order to start cycling. Probably most of you watching this, you're probably already into cycling, aren't you? But this is for people that are just getting into cycling.
Mate. The fact that cycling increases your love hormone might have attracted a new audience today.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
Share this with your mates that aren't cycling yet and tell them that they might find love on the local group ride. on Thursday, how to fuel at a gas station. Has that been delayed, presumably? I seem to remember reading that out last week.
you're right. It's the video that just doesn't want to come out. On Friday, we've been talking about Killian a lot, haven't we? Well, we catch up with Killian for his Tour de France challenge. Tour de France? No, he's not quite there yet. Tour of Flanders challenge. So I actually gave him some tips, Dan.
Did you?
Yeah, with all my Tour of Flanders experience.
That should help him.
Yeah.
what a shame that he's doing all this preparation, now he's not going.
Yeah, bad luck, Killian. I mean, it's just, sometimes you've got to be punished, haven't you, if you've not done your homework. and then on Saturday, you know how he liked to challenge Hank. Well, his challenge this week is to try and fuel like a professional cyclist.
Right.
So 120 grams of carbs per hour. Yeah. Which for a man that doesn't like to eat while cycling was possibly...
Does he not like to eat while cycling?
No, he really doesn't like to eat while cycling. So yeah, 120 grams of carbs an hour. Ooh. Plus, we got some hot tech from the cobbles. So Connor and Hank were loitering around the start of E3 last Friday and have been looking at some pretty nice looking pro bikes. And then on Sunday, whilst they were over there loitering around at E3, they also did an epic ride on the cobbles of Roubaix. So not only the famous sectors, they got, it's super cool, right? So they got Les Amis de Paris-Roubaix to send them some hidden sectors that haven't been used in the race. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool.
It is cool, isn't it? So yeah, so not only is it the stuff you know, it's the stuff that you've never seen before. So yeah, we'll see how they got on.
No, that's brilliant. Mm. Imagine if they're so good that video prompts ASO to start using these different sectors.
Well, I mean, if they see Connor and Hank on the cobbles, it'll probably look quite hard.
Yes.
So
it's the most brutal set. This is a 6-star sector.
That's right. Yeah,
making it look
Connor looking like Bambi on ice potentially. but yeah, anyway, so there we go. That should be a good one.
Right, that's all for this week's GCN show. Don't forget in the comments, let you know if any of your mates have found love on your local group rides. Or if you know someone that's moody before they go out and get back full of love.
Yeah, or, you know, like, have you ever just broken down at the end of a group ride and had a nice cuddle? Because the cuddle chemical is kicked in. I mean, that's what I'd... Have you ever done that?
I can't wait to read these comments now.